Okay, the critical question is, Ian, what position is Ollie in at present? He's gone very quiet.
His ears are twitching.
His ears are twitching.
So I think he's packing his bags, yes.
So far, in terms of the critical analysis of Mo Pitney and Everywhere, it's got a cat's ears twitching. Nice.
Is that the equivalent of a person tapping their feet, do you think?
No.
He was quite definitely.
The equivalent is there a mouse in the room?
Right, yeah, it's not going to work into it. Jessica Wickham, what did you make of Mo Pitney and Everywhere?
It was lovely. Haven't heard that before.
Well, no, because we gave it an unveiling yesterday. It's part of the rich tapestry there. It's great. Kaylee, second time around for you. Of course, you heard it yesterday.
Still love it.
Still love it. Holly, were your ears twitching?
Yesterday it was said that we could listen to it blasted out on a car journey.
We could listen to it being blasted out on a car journey or even a train journey.
What train?
See what we did there? Yeah. Hannah?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good. I agree with what's been said.
And Ben?
I actually really liked it. I don't tend to like these kind of songs, but I do.
There we are, you see. So it would seem that overall it's thumbs up and possibly half a paw in the case of Ian's cat.
I quite liked it.
Well, then, there we are, you see. So the human species, great. Felines, not so much. Never mind. So the sort of critical area. I could obviously wax lyrical on the balance of Newcastle and Brighton, Brighton and Newcastle, but, I mean, I don't think, Ben, do you want to talk about that?
In terms of what, the league or the cup?
Well, I mean, obviously the cup is gone. There,
the league, it? Please, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. thanks to a certain team that not too far away from here who actually beat Brighton, and then went on to beat Burnley, of course. And
wonder what they're called.
Heading off to play, I believe, Arsenal at Emirates Stadium, so it's very good.
It'll transform their fortunes, of course, because the money they'll get is enormous.
Well,
I know the owner of Blyth Spartans, and he, about 4 or 5 years ago, had a good cup run. I think they played 2 television games against, quite highly, but one was a Premiership team, I think. And the money they got basically kept the bankroll of the team for another 4 or 5 years. So Lincoln can't lose.
A win-win situation. Of course, they've never been able to lose Lincoln. They have the wonderful Essex former PE teachers, the Cowley brothers, in charge. And
have the crowds gone up since the league games?
I think you could say that there have been a number of glory supporters coming out of the woodwork and effectively sort of appearing in general routines. A special mention for one of our Drive Time presenters, Peter Haywood, of course, who you may recall has correctly predicted the outcome of every one of the Lincoln City games so far. Actually, he's had wagers on various ones as well, but he actually predicted a 2-0 win, not a 1-0 win against Burnley. If you're interested...
That's a bit too confident, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Do you know what his thoughts are about the Arsenal game? Would you like to have a...
Yes, I don't know.
0-0 with a replay at Cinsel Bank.
No, I think he's pushing his luck a little bit there.
Yes, but we could have said that in every round so far.
We all like to dream, but you've got to be realistic sometime, haven't you?
After all, for every Oxford United, there's a middle.
He can go ahead every time they count the coins flipped, and then suddenly he gets tails. Anyway.
Listen, Ian, as long as you don't eat pies, we're okay. That's the
yes, point. I know. It's a bit strange, isn't it?
No. You know, if you're goalkeeper, obviously you're going to
have they've done a spoof on Facebook, do you see it? About Fiona Busey eating a pie during the 6 o'clock news and gets spattered.
Well, you see, these are the kind of Facebook things which I just feel you've got too much time on your hands, Ian. I mean, there are people here trying to organise fashion weeks, etc., not to actually look at sort of various funny memes on Facebook.
I can't imagine you organising a fashion week, I really can't. I'm sorry.
I have actually hosted several fashion events.
That's different.
Exactly. Anyway, that's a different line entirely. Okay, in the next part of the programme, much, much more in terms of how people can get involved with Lincoln Fashion Week, I think, Jessica, because this is not just a wonderful chance, thanks to Virgin Trains, of course, and some of the fine teams, including yourself, and Sarah, you know, people will have a chance to meet Sarah Bullimore. That's always legendary.
Yes.
It's great stuff there. And all sorts of things will be coming through from that. We'll be hearing from George Sampson, dancer and winner of Britain's Got Talent, about the stresses that 20-somethings are faced with today. It's all far too stressful, life, etc. Apparently, according to George, it's just far too stressful. Too stressful. We'll also be finding out about flavoursome foods. We might be speaking to William Sitwell, and Alan Stevens will be joining us, so heaps more to come. Ben, I think it's time you actually took that little mantle from Hannah for a moment, because I know as a Brighton supporter and as indeed a bonding with the Newcastle thing, you kind of obviously need to connect on that line of things. I could have said 5-3, but I thought a hold back, really, because obviously that's a good result for a European sort of side, which one day we might have.
It was a good game, actually. Yeah, well, there very good game.
Yeah.
Was that the first leg, Alex?
Yes, it was, yes.
Although I think your goalkeeper could do with a little bit of
at least we didn't
touching.
Have Bravo in.
Don't get him on about the goalkeeper.
Caballero didn't have the finest
in next week's time. It'll be the day after Huddersfield Town have probably had a shot on target, and it'll be, anyway, let's carry on. And then, of course, we play Middlesbrough. Ben.
Ian, have you enjoyed your telephone link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Yes, and the cat's gone to sleep now.
He's really enjoyed living, you know, listening, hasn't he, really?
It was when you started on about Brighton, actually.
Oh. Funny, that.
it might have been the passion week, I'm not sure.
You raised the heart. I mean, the
tired of us winning.
Jessica, for the benefit, I mean, there are other radio stations that, you know, obviously commissioned lots of market research. We rely for our kind of input for the listeners on Ian's cats. You know? It's a mystical
cats thing. In general.
Cats in general.
In deference to you, Alex, I shall market test them against BBC Radio 1 this morning, right?
Exactly. You know, I feel, you know, in comparison, you know, you're talking about clearly in terms of it's not more, who we took over from Chris Moyles in terms of breakfast show.
Really?
Exactly. Nick Grimshaw, etc. So, you know, compare Grimshaw's appeal with felines with Midweek Drive Morning Edition's feline appeal. It's crazy good stuff. So that's the task that we will come back to. Anyway, carry on, Ben.
Basically, will you join us again next week, Ian?
I will do, yes. Oh, when do we play, by the way? It's on telly, that game.
Yes,
now.
It's very, very soon. I can't remember the exact date.
See, Katie's gone to sleep now. You know,
We've got Bristol City at home and then three away games against the second, third and fourth teams.
It's very soon, I know that, because they're trying to flog the boxes at Brighton.
It could all end in tears, though.
Yeah. Trying to flog the boxes?
Yeah, they've sold out the actual stands. It's the actual VIP boxes they're still
doing. Oh, that was really... Brighton and Newcastle.
I think ours are sold all season.
Sharing their thoughts about football when, obviously, they're really jealous and envious about Lincoln City's tremendous run.
Yes, well, I am. Yeah, we haven't got that far for a long time.
No, well, and the way you played against Oxford United, I'm not surprised. Anyway, that's about it. Ian Lennox will return. It's the Waterboys and the Clash to take us up to the news at the top of the hour. So far, actually, no sign of John Wenham, and he did actually say that he would only turn up if he was bored. So we've managed to entertain him for the first hour. So good news as far as that's concerned. And much more on the Lincoln Fashion Week in a matter of seconds for now. Ian Lennox, you will return.
I hope so. Excellent. And good luck with your Fashion Week.
Thank you.
Jessica doesn't need luck.
Enjoy the train journey.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
The train will be fantastic. It'll be just great. How long does it take to get from Lincoln to London these days?
Just under 2 hours.
Just under 7,200 seconds. It's very exciting. All the technology of the 21st century, quite astounding. And the weather today, highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade after a wet start. It'll be a day of blustery rain and showers. Of course, it's Hurricane Doris, I believe, Hannah, you alerted us to in terms of the name that we actually given this D, meteorological phenomenon. And it will, of course, turn windy with gales. It's wonderful. Unless, of course, you're just outside Jessica Wickham's house, in which case it'll be perfect, Jessica.
Yes.
It's very important.
It wasn't raining or windy. Just
no, exactly. It's like a microclimate that has its own particular concerns.
In a multiverse awash with galactic wonders, the role of the midweek drivettes is simple. As Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Katie Dorr, Jessica Ward, Fiona Williams, Eva McDonald and Emily Jones continue broadcasting across the cosmos.
So,
on 107.3 Siren FM.
Thank you. Let's just calculate that. Hannah, obviously, we name-checked in that particular one. Emily, she's in Spain.
Yeah.
So sorted through on that particular bit. Jessica Ward, she's still actually doing some canoeing somewhere on that basis. Eva McDonald's here.
Yay!
And we still have, of course, Kayleigh Umfraville and Holly McGrattan here for another 22 minutes, it would seem, before you head off to prepare, obviously, for the 6:30 a.m. departure tomorrow as you represent the Midweek Drive team in a journey to the capital of the United Kingdom in association with Sarah Bullimore and Jessica Wickham. And why are they doing that, Jessica? Why are they making that ultimate sacrifice, you know, for a student
getting
to actually
up that early
getting
in the
up
morning.
That early in the morning? It's almost like they were saying last night when Holly first was thinking about coming on the programme, and I made a slight AM PM sort of errata, and she said, are you sure you mean 4 a.m. as opposed to 4 p.m. in terms of the studio sort of first routine? Took me at least the first show to actually sort out who was Kayleigh, who was Holly. I remember it well, but they going to find out? And now, why are they connected for that joyous excitement of travelling with your good self and Sarah Bullimore and others to London?
Well, we're going to London Fashion Week Festival. So the whole group of us, from Lincoln Fashion Week, from sponsors to retailers to models to students, fashion design students and designers and media as well, all going down, taking part in London Fashion Week Festival to pick up some top tips from the capital. Obviously, I have to note that we're going down on a Virgin East Coast train, first class with breakfast included, which is going to be lovely. Free Wi-Fi all journey as well, so we'll be tweeting and live streaming, Facebooking, Instagramming all the way down there. And we'll also be kicking back and relaxing. And if you download Beam app, which is amazing, you get endless amounts of hours of complimentary entertainment on board, from films, you get Disney and Marvel games, everything like that. So
and
it's
this,
going to be amazing.
This in addition to their regular phone links that they'll be doing with myself.
Absolutely.
In a studio somewhere in the northeast of
Absolutely.
England. It'll be up as a podcast.
All under 2 hours as well, so we've got to cram it all in.
Hannah, it must take you back to your first official midweek drive routine, where I think we did the stinking food and gift fair, if memory serves.
Yes, I caught a lift in your car, if I remember.
Not quite, but, you know, first class after a fashion. Yeah, that's the important thing. Ben, poor soul, hasn't yet had one sort of field trip as yet, but it'll happen, Ben, I've no
I'm
doubt.
I'm sure my time will come.
Exactly. Eva, of course, all over the country, uh-huh. Even in a helicopter.
Yes, that was the best trip.
Well, there we are.
Best trip.
We'll get it there in the fullest of time. Right, well, we're thinking about fashion, but no, I think given that Virgin Trains have been very kind enough to obviously provide this, let's promote them one more time with The Farm, Groovy Train on Siren FM. So recent research has suggested that when it comes to stress, well, it's something we all tend to suffer with, but research on Nationwide has revealed that 20-somethings spend less than 2 nights a month in the pub, go clubbing even less regularly, and many are still living with their parents. In other words, there's a whole range of challenges within there. Now, somebody who can actually not only deal with challenges, but ascend them, transcend them, and actually do a whole range of things, particularly when you actually recall his fantastic hip-hop influence take on Gene Kelly's Singing in the Rain, inevitably designs to win the second series of Britain's Got Talent. We're delighted to be able to welcome the ace extraordinary individual, Renaissance man himself, George Sampson. Good morning, George. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Not too stressed, one trusts, because this is something that's come out of this survey, that actually there are a whole range of sort of 20-something stresses that maybe we don't think about these days.
There are. There's a perception that sort of young people are stressed about their clothes, what they're wearing, what club they're going to at a weekend, and unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. There are lots of stresses, lots of issues that basically sort of get hidden, not many people know about.
Now, in terms of obviously the business of show, that is inevitably a fairly stressful scenario, whether you're in Waterloo Road, whether you're actually, you know, winning various other bits and pieces. So what's the George Sampson secret to working with this whole process? Is it a case of, well, you feel the fear and do it anyway?
I think that's part of it. I think part of it comes down to there's an acceptance before you do what I do that sort of says this is going to be a rough roller coaster ride, so and get used to it. And even you know, I've been very lucky with what I do in terms of money and the jobs that I've done. I have been very lucky, but I still have the same stresses, the same worries that most of my friends who back home in Warrington have, and they are financial worries. They're worries about preparing for the future. You know, I worry about things like my credit cards. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm at an age now where I think it'd be better for me to prepare for the future and try and secure something, property-wise, how to get on the property ladder, things like that. All these kind of things sort of I worry about, and most of my friends of my age worry about these things too. And I guess that stems down from any sort of business, not just the show business.
Absolutely, and I suppose if you're actually working in the series which was once referred to as Sex, Lies and Sheep Dip, as aka Emmerdale, that's a whole range of things that's actually there. In terms of, I mean, is it a case of sometimes you just need to take time out to relax and actually do some planning? I mean, you say that, and what seems to come across from this nationwide survey seems to be that actually, although it might seem you want to put it off and say, oh, I don't have to think about sort of any other thing until I'm at least in my 70s, you do need to set some time aside literally to just plan for the future.
Of course you do, and it's never that easy. Of course it's harder than it looks, and it's... There's a certain element of it to it as well. You know, if you're out at the weekend or your friends, and it's hard to say no. It's hard to say, you know, I need to knuckle down now. I need to save a bit and invest a bit and look into sort of my future. It is very hard, especially when you've tried. And I know so many people, and even myself, have tried to try and secure things. And I mean, I'm in a different scenario because I'm self-employed. It's hard for me to sort of secure anything on the property ladder unless I buy something outright. And so it's when you're renting and you've got a bit of money, it's hard to say I'm gonna save up, because you know you work all week, you want to feel like you're working for something, and then when you don't get that something, it's easy to have a good time with your friends, and that's sort of one way for them to feel like they're having a good time.
And maybe the key message that's coming out of this particular item is you should avoid the ostrich routine. Don't stick your head in the sand. Look to actually face the challenges, and they probably won't be as bad as you might think they were.
No, they're not. They're never as bad. It's not as bad. There's lots of places you can go, lots of people you can talk to, and you know, even if you're not stressed or worried about it, it's something that you should at least try and think about, because it's at the end of the day, it affects everybody. It affects people in their 20s. It affects their future generation. It affects the people, their parents, people who want them to do well, want them to have something in their name. So it affects everybody, really. And I think. They should go out and look into it and put some time down and try and look into it and help themselves.
George, you can clearly add to your growing list of credits, guru advisor on life as well, from that point of view. So there's great stuff there, Warrington's finest. I trust you've had a reasonably stress-free telephonic link with us this morning. Has it been okay for yourself?
It's been absolutely fine for me. I've had the best time.
Excellent. Well, George Sampson, hopefully we'll connect with you again in the not-too-distant future to keep us... I mean, who knows, it'll be sort of mid-20s next, then 30s, then... Will you be kind enough to return and keep us appraised of life in the George Sampson universe?
Absolutely.
George Sampson, we salute you. Many thanks. Excellent. Of course, Hannah, you remember George Sampson when he won Britain's Got Talent with, of course, that routine of singing in the rain, jazzed up. And look now, you're sharing the reins on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition in terms of co-presentational duties.
Yes, well, I was actually remembering how long ago it was, because I looked it up, it was 2008.
2008.
If it was in the summer, that would have been between year 6 and year 7 for me.
Well, that's clearly...
But I do remember, it was the year one of my primary school teachers auditioned to try and get on. She didn't get very far, but she was a very good singer, I think she got up further, but yeah.
But there we have it. Maybe we should actually have more animals that win Britain's Got Talent these days, so you know, we should work for that basis. Eva, you're quite excited to hear the sound of George Sampson. Well, you said he sounded a little bit more mature than you remembered.
He did. Yeah. I remember when I watched it, it was the same time as Hannah, so it would have changed, exactly. I'm going to guess.
Are you at all interested in the grand event in May, that would be May the 6th, and earlier, that actually Lincoln Fashion Week is going to sort of regale itself with, given that actually it's thanks to Sarah Bollimore that both yourself on one wing of our studio co-presenters today and Jessica Wickham on the other side are kind of in this studio at this moment in time. So, you know, let's take out the Lincoln Sew Festival, let's take out ambassadors and so on for this, let's go festival crazy. Jessica, what would appeal to Eva about the Lincoln Fashion Extravaganza?
Oh gosh, everything. I mean, what are you into? Fashion, beauty, clothing.
Fashion and beauty.
Well, we've got some, I can't reveal yet, but we've got some top retailers from independents and the big chain retailers all in Lincoln. So you get to see lots of fashion outfits, wacky outfits being put together. The hairstyles as well are amazing, done by Tony and Guy and Talking Heads, and a lot of apprentices as well from the Lincoln College are helping to do it, and a little bit of training. And the hair is fantastic. So if you ever want to get your hair done, become a model.
Very, very keen on the hair. Yeah. For a long time, it was Emma Tinson, Eva McDonald, Emma, Eva. It was yeah. very, personally, as the follicly challenged individual, I just step away from that. Quite,
yeah. yeah.
So, and understandably so.
I had two hairstyles last year, and it took me about 3 days to get them out. But it was amazing. I mean, they hold.
Kaylee, what are you most looking forward to? Let's talk about this trip tomorrow.
Just seeing everything, to be honest. I just love fashion, so just being in it would be
so
amazing.
Just sorted out the whole thing. It's like a propaganda moment, isn't it, really? Oh, yeah. Shameless plug. And Holly?
Well, these hairstyles sound cool. I think I might, you know...
I noticed you're not wearing the bands today. You were a bandana girl last week. Yeah, and I was like, you stepped away from that. So
didn't really work with the headset, so...
It's very true. You know, obviously, yeah. finger on the pulse from that point of view. We're going to talk about flavours and foods. More to come, of course, and we'll be sharing. In fact, let's share now. How can people get involved online and in social media land with Lincoln Fashion Week?
Well, from tomorrow, we'll be live streaming, live broadcasting on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. So follow us at Link Fashion Week on all three platforms, using hashtag Lincoln Fashion Week, but also hashtag LFW Festival for London Fashion Week Festival. So there'll be lots of broadcasting live throughout the week of tomorrow. We've also got Oh What's Only Alice coming with us, Alice Thorpe, and she'll be doing a vlog for us as well, and the Fruit Cellar blog as well. A big fashion blogger in Lincoln is going to be doing another vlog and live blogging for us as well. So get on social media and you can follow us throughout the day from 6:30 till 7:30 or whenever our coach arrives back in Lincoln.
And of course we have the adventures of Holly and
Listen on Radio.
Exactly, Kaylee. Just actually sort of work our way through that. You thought I'd forgotten that, but I hadn't. It was all there, so that'll come through. And we'll also sort of be putting that together as podcast packages. It's been very exciting, so great stuff on that point of view. Okay, that's it for the moment. I've tried to resist too many sort of references to trains, but let's face it, it's nice to actually work with this. I promise we'll be the last one. It's a very sobering thought that recent research from North reveals that more than 8 million Brits are living in households that struggle to put food on the table. And indeed, 4.7 million Brits are regularly going a day without eating. Now, to address this unacceptable issue, I think, to be fair, we're delighted to be able to welcome award-winning dietitian and general all-round good soul, Dr. Carrie Ruxton. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Dr. Carrie. And ace food psychologist extraordinaire, the fantastic Greg Tucker. How are you, Greg?
I'm exceptionally well, thank you.
Marvellous. Carrie, if we can come to you first, this astounded me, this particular piece of news, obviously commissioned by Norn and leading on to what we're going to talk about today in terms of flavours and food. But food poverty, you kind of think, look, it's the 21st century, for goodness sakes. Wasn't this something that comes out of Dickensian times?
Absolutely. And in fact, this 8 million figure comes from a WHO study. So it's, you know, it's a rock solid amount of people that are really struggling. But, you know, there's certainly a very low awareness of this. Some research shows that a third of people today think food poverty isn't an issue. We're kind of sticking our heads in the sand. But I mean, the Trustwell organisation shows that more and more people are using food banks, more and more people are struggling. It's a combination of economic downturns. We don't have high paid jobs with dedicated amounts of hours. So there's a lot of kind of confusion out there in the workplace where people aren't getting a regular income. And we know that the poorest people in society are spending only about £3 a day to feed their families. So you can imagine what sort of food that can buy is going to be fairly bland and samey, and flavour and nutrition are not going to be up there. So really that's what Nora's trying to do, is to raise awareness of this, and with the Flavour for All campaign, just get people looking at their local area, how they can get involved to raise awareness about food poverty and to try and do something to fix that.
Greg, as someone who is very much involved with defining the consumption experience, clearly one hears the anecdotal evidence of if you're trying to sell your home, you should actually have the smell of baking bread. There are certain smells which carry with it a kind of nostalgia from that point of view. But I was quite astounded to find that human beings can actually detect well over 10,000 discrete flavours.
Absolutely. Never underestimate the brilliance of your body. That's exactly what's going on. And think how many hues and colours you can see when you look at a picture. You can see whether a pink is darker or lighter than the pink next to it. And so in our mouths, we can actually detect five basic tastes: salt, sweet, sugar, sour and bitter, bitter and umami. But we've also got the aromas that your brain's decoding, which is part of the whole experience. And the thing that people often forget is that you can detect the texture shifts as well, from the crispness in a crisp when you bite on it to the melt of ice cream. And that texture transition is a part of the whole taste. So that spectrum of 10,000 aromas, all of these different tastes in your mouth, and the shift of the texture all ladder up to a very complex, involving experience that can be nostalgic, it can be escapist, it can be exciting, it can be upbeat, it can be masculine or feminine, it could be homely, it could be reassuring, it can be nostalgic, or it can be brand new.
And just really to kind of look into that further, NOR commissioned this study where we took flavour away from people for a week. So after you've listened to what Greg describes as the amazing role of flavour in our lives, imagine if you didn't have that for 7 days. So this study actually got people who had a perfectly reasonable diet. It was just really, really bland. Flavour was out completely for a week, and we looked at how they responded to that. And what we found was that 80% felt less positive, 70% were lacking in energy and concentration, and all of them felt socially excluded. So that just really shows the importance of flavour in our general well-being, but also in our health as well, because flavour and nutrition go hand in hand.
We're regularly committed to running a series of features on obviously the right kind of nutrition, and the general brands that sugar is the new nicotine has been stated with that, and quite apart from obviously issues relating to salt. I think it's fair to say that what NOR are actually involved with here is producing something which is good, healthy food. The flavour for all things is part of that package to ensure that actually you're not just simply stocking up on quality, well, basically on junk food.
Well, what they actually want is to increase the access for people to flavoursome, nutritious meals. It's not one or the other, it's both together. And in an effort to kind of push that forward, we want to explain how important flavour is to people, but also to give some practical assistance. So NOR are spending money as well as giving expertise and flavour training to people involved in food banks and in soup kitchens. And you can see some of the recipes that they're actually developing, so that we're trying to upskill people to know how to make food enjoyable and also beneficial. So this idea of flavoursome, nutritious meals is what they're trying to support, and they're doing that through what they can do to get involved in these places, and we should all be supporting that.
The very laudable aim is clearly from NOR to actually ensure that more than 1 million people have easier access to nutritious, flavoursome meals by 2020, which is just around the corner in many ways, just a matter of 3 years away, really. Achievable, Kerry?
Yes, I think it is, really, because we have to do something. In society, you know, we're eating more, we're getting fatter, but our nutrition is actually reducing. You know, our vitamins and minerals are not catching up with the calories, and we're cooking less and less. We're sitting on the sofa more and more, watching TV programmes about cooking, but doing less and less in our kitchens and just dialing up the local takeaway. So just to turn this all around, you can actually have nutritious, healthy meals on a budget. You can cook very simple things from home. I'm not a great fan of cooking, if people think you would be as a dietitian, but I like keeping it simple and basic for my family, and it is possible. So really trying to turn this around, it's going to be easier in people's pockets, it's going to be simple to do, and it isn't about using expensive products. It's about using very, very simple ways to add flavour in and have a healthy, nutritious meal.
Very much a win-win situation there for individual well-being from a physical, spiritual and emotional sense. Greg, best place to go to find out further details? Is it simply a case of type in the letters K-N-O-R-R, NOR, and you'll find details coming up on various search engines?
That's a pretty good start point. We've actually got a website here, nor.co.uk/flavourforall, and that talks about the project that we're doing and also talks to some of the recipes about how to pack flavour into nutritious meals.
And get involved locally as well with your soup kitchen.
It's got some connections for places that we're supporting and also for the Trust World Trust, which is doing great work on food banks.
And Kerry, from your own point of view, your ideal tasting meal, if somebody was actually to provide the whole thing, what sort of particular aspects would you say, yes, that's the flavour I'd most go for?
I'm quite fond of a beef or pork stir fry with all those lovely crispy vegetables and a bit of soy sauce.
And Greg, the same question to your good self. Favourite flavour?
My favourite flavour is my wife's Sunday roast.
Oh, my word. So the vegetarians will have to step to one side. That's a particular moment of time.
I like veggie too.
Well, there you go.
Potatoes, don't forget those.
Of course, absolutely. Dr. Kerry Ruxton and Greg Tucker, many thanks for joining us today. The Flavour for All campaign.
Thank you, Alex.
Excellent routine. Hopefully we'll speak again to continue the excellent work in terms of, again, addressing those appalling facts that we started off with, but we will sort it out. We will address it. Many thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Of course, the unanswered question which needs to be addressed immediately is, what is William Sitwell's favourite food flavour? William, can you add anything to that? I mean, are you going to go left field on us? Where does a flavoursome food sit with your own palate?
I think it depends on where you are, time of day, your feeling, whether you're, you know, whether you need spiritual, mental, physical engagement or refreshment, or whether you need to give free plugs for Norse stock cubes.
Nice. I see what you did there. Wonderfully put together and effortlessly done, may I say so. Four fine folk in the studio at present. We have Eva MacDonald.
Hello.
We have from Lincoln Big, which of course the Business Improvement Group. It's not a kind of Tom Hanks movie, although I gather Tom Hanks could be heading to Lincoln with Steven Spielberg in the near future just to celebrate making movies in God's very own county. Or was that Yorkshire? Jessica Wickham, of course, with us. And we've got Hannah Brown.
Hello.
And Ben Lewis.
Good morning, William.
I thought Somerset was God's own county. That's what Jacob Rees-Mogg, the great MP, says.
Really?
But you make different allegations. So.
I'd always thought it was Yorkshire. But
I heard of Yorkshire as well.
However, let's not fight. You know, we had civil war a few hundred years ago, and it didn't end that well. You know, Cromwell, Roundheads, they cancelled Christmas, for goodness sakes. We're not into historical perceptions here. William, you are a man of fashion. Are you at all connected with the London Fashion Week in any way, shape or form? Or is it one of those things where you think, no, I think from this point of view, Waitrose food might step away from London fashion?
I have no connection with it whatsoever. Mm. Indeed, neither have I any desire to or any abilities to contribute to it.
So the perfect guest in many ways, Jessica, to celebrate
Absolutely.
Lincoln Fashion Week. If you're looking for a celebrity author to come and officially open the 28th of April till 5th of May 2017 event, visit lincoln.com/fashion.
I think the great fashion statement in Fashion Week was Boris Johnson, you know, jogging through that London park, looking quite exceptional.
Oh yes.
And I hope you all saw that. It was a very, very beautiful thing. He's a man who doesn't really care what he looks like, people think of him. It's more about the power of his brain. But I think we should all try dressing like him. I mean, we might get arrested and stop the traffic. But
that's the beauty of William's pieces, of course, because fundamentally he'd always come out with a left-wing suggestion that just might have legs. I mean, Jessica...
It might.
Is that something...
Not
that
entirely convinced.
You might, in the next sort of brainstorming session you have with Sarah Bullen, sort of think, let's take William
right.
Sitwell's idea and let's
yeah,
roll
but,
it
you
out
know, so, I mean, okay, so last night in the Brits, okay, so David Bowie's son talks about the fact that David Bowie stood up for, you know, odd people in society. And everyone kind of goes, they cheer and they go, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, who does Boris Johnson stand up for when he looks like that, when he jogs like that? You know, every strange maverick lunatic who jogs in pretty maverick gear should feel better today.
They should, yeah.
Mm. They should.
You know, who aren't slaves to fashion.
They should. I mean, William, you're possibly sufficiently chronologically gifted to remember the era of the shell suit. Do you not feel we should actually perhaps bring that back?
Well, yeah, and the music as well. You know, Braggy Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, just classic.
And all that, yeah.
Hannah, you're looking a bit bemused when I say shell suit. Have you never encountered that particular fashion icon?
Well, all that comes to mind is a suit made of seashells, but I'm sure that's not what we're talking about.
That would be a much more attractive proposition.
Jessica, do you... The shell suit?
I'm still a bit too young, but
still a bit too young.
Yeah.
Your parents.
My parents were definitely into that. Uh-huh. And I was in a lot of charity shop clothes when I was younger, so inevitably put in shell suits.
Okay.
It was really worn by Scousers with curly hair and moustaches.
Yes.
Walk down the street going, A.
Calm down.
I'm holiday.
Calm down.
Calm down.
You can indeed shop for shell suits, and there we have. All messages coming through them. Extraordinary how these William Sitwell aspects will shift seamlessly from fashion to political commentary. Right the way back to
Harry Enfield.
Exactly. and much more. Ben, questions for the Sitwell Meister, please.
Ooh, William, what has been going on in your life lately? Is there anything interesting? anything interesting you can enlighten us with?
Oh, I've been a little bit busy. I went. I was in Comentana, which is in Switzerland, at the weekend, and I went to Valencia on Monday, and I'm going to Jamaica next week. I'll be in Northamptonshire at the weekend. I'm hopefully trying to get some hot water if I get my boiler started, and I'm trying to eat more sushi and more green vegetables and more plants and more lentils, and steady on with the drinking.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Oh. All over the place.
You're a Renaissance man, as we frequently said, and of course the paperback edition of Eggs or Anarchy is available now. You can actually purchase it.
Well, it was, and I don't know if you watched further back in time the other night. I was on that show with Charles Corrin talking about the hair of my book, Lord Wilton, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, and in March the 9th, we're approaching the publication date of my next book, which is the really quite good British cookbook, which we'll have to speak about, which is an incredible volume that I hope will go down as one of the great cooking tomes of all time.
So it is indeed called The Really Quite Good Great British Cookbook.
A really quite good British cookbook.
British cookbook, yeah. Okay.
That's right.
I mean, would you suggest that that might be something we could open up for the Midrick Drive-Outs to maybe try some of those recipes and see what they can make of the really quite good British cookbook?
Yeah, do a couple of photos and...
Get him to judge whether some... Because, I mean, Hannah, as you're well aware, it was really the photographs of your star makes that were the only things that William would have touched from the last Bake Off competition, so...
Yes.
We'll try and organise a giveaway for your listener in the village.
the joy of a William Sitwell moment, Jessica, it makes the whole show just... In 24 hours from now, you will be closer to William Sitwell than you are now. Why is that? Would you like to explain why?
Yes, well... When does the train arrive? The train will arrive at 9:30.
9:30. So tomorrow morning, Friday, you will be in Sitwell land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First class.
Where will you be? What
do you do? Well, where will I be? About Stamford right now?
I think you better explain to William and our listener once again why and how this
tomorrow,
is being formed. Through the wonderful
Lincoln Fashion Week is joining London Fashion Week and being connected via Virgin train. We're going on a first class train all the way down to London. The nice commuter train at 7:30 in the morning. So in 24 hours, we'll probably be, I think, around about Stamford area, travelling, probably tucking in some nice James Martin food in the first class carriage.
Now, let's just hold it there. James Martin food. William, is that a good deal? Is it a bad deal?
Good,
I mean, are we sending our midweek drivettes off on something which you think, what, are you insane?
I think it's better than the rip-off food you have to buy now on British Airways from Marks & Spencer.
Obviously, harsh commentary, but the opinions of our contributors don't necessarily reflect those.
Well, we
on the
can
station.
Give you some feedback after.
There we are. It's the message.
James Martin is a good. He's a good solid
he's
guy.
He's good,
All will be well. That's the important thing. And Eva, would you like to put those last two? In fact, actually, Jess, before we go, would you be able to sort of hashtag in William Sitwell? I mean, if he's of a mind to sort of do these showing things, what should he actually do to support Lincoln Fashion?
So to support Lincoln Fashion Week. Hashtag Lincoln Fashion Week, as always. Mm. Hashtag Love Lincoln. That's
Hashtag Love Lincoln. And for somebody who's based in Northamptonshire, that can be quite difficult to do.
Yeah.
But, he's been here a couple of times, and hopefully we'll return.
Who doesn't love Lincoln?
If you've seen Valencia, Jamaica, and Switzerland, I think in the next weeks as well as the last weeks. It's quite difficult to love Lincoln in comparison, I think.
I don't know, William, surely they fit together like, hand in glove, don't they?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the village of Lincoln or Montego Bay, well, I can find it hard to choose between the two.
So there we have it.
We all know which one he'd pick.
No, no, you don't. Ben, that's the beauty of William Sitwell's phone links. You never quite know. You never. It's always. Eva, last two questions, please.
Of course. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have. It's been good and random. What I would say is hashtag feed models.
Well, I can let you know that all of our models are safely fed, and on the train there will be as well, tucking into their first class meal.
We're not going to have any of those stick thing anorexic sort of challenges of bulimia and so on and so forth. It's
all
a healthy attitude. Exactly,
ages.
Exactly. Do you know, they even offered me a role. I said no, William, for obvious reasons. It's not going to happen.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
Very possibly in a fortnight.
In 2 English weeks from now. And for the benefit of those who still sort of have difficulty actually justifying, is it Lincoln or is it... It's Bobby Bloom. Jessica, as we talk about fashion,
yes.
Fashion and academics, if you're a professor at Royal Holloway College London, do you think that's what the sort of archetypal fashionista would actually recommend for professorial wear today?
I love it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good look, isn't it? It's really
absolutely
good.
I like this. I don't know what this thing is.
Very few people actually do know what the thing is.
A ray gun?
It's a very modern
microphone.
Yeah, it could be a microphone as well, Fiona.
Yeah.
Eva, would you like to describe that little outfit that we're looking at there?
It's a modern black jeans.
Black jeans. Black
and
top.
A sort of ray gun thing.
And a sort of ray gun.
Can you hold it closer to the microphone? We can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, ray gun.
Oh, Alan, you're stretching the medium so much there. It's unbelievable. The reason, of course, being that today's show has been officially dedicated to Lincoln Fashion Week and, of course, the excitement of the London Fashion Week, which, Jessica, you'll be heading down to tomorrow.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is another area that could be explored for Lincoln Fashion Week as well, the science fiction. Cosplay
yes.
elements, yeah?
I've been to a few Comic-Cons before, and I feel really out of place. Whereas if I go somewhere fashion-y, I feel, you know, quite comfortable around everybody wearing fashion outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to a Comic-Con and I think, whoa, what am I doing here? Because I don't have that level of fashion. The dressing up and the role play.
Yeah, I mean, Fiona and Alan, I'm not sure. Are you cosplayers? I mean, do you work through that whole routine?
If I dress up as myself...
Yes. And that, okay. Ben, is why you appreciate when you see Alan
exactly.
Stevens' name on the list, you think, oh, Lord, here we are, more unremitting misery for the last 15 minutes of the show.
He's telling himself again.
Suppose it's a rant about.
Exactly. It's all there. Again, how can Fiona and Alan, currently based in Staines, of course, with their wonderful two feline friends, Aisha and Zukov.
Oh, great.
High time we mentioned them, etc. How could they get involved with London or indeed Lincoln Fashion Week?
Right, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, Link Fashion Week. You can follow the hashtag Lincoln Fashion Week and LFW Festival. And you can watch us and you can see what we're doing all day for about 12 hours broadcasting live from Virgin Trains East Coast all the way down to when we're actually at London Fashion Week Festival as well. So a whole day of entertainment. Plus on the coach back as well.
Yeah. Exactly. It's so exciting, Fiona.
Yes.
We felt we couldn't even reveal that this was happening on the show before we actually booked you for the day, because we knew that when it comes to SF Fashionistas, if it's not David J. Howe and Sam Stone, it's got to be Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens.
And on. I say again, we're still looking for models.
Well, funny enough, I do think that, you know, you could have Alan and Fiona sort of tied up in a whole range of ways. Not that I'm suggesting bondage, because we covered that earlier with 50 Shades Darker, but in a whole variety of things. There, they would. I think they'd slot in very well from that perspective, particularly the pterodactyl.
I love it.
Exactly. Hannah Brown. We got a microphone for your good self there. We might have to sort of lean the one that's across.
I'll lean this way.
We're all right. You're sorted through there. Harry Potter and the Alzheimer Society. Have you got anything to do with that at all? Or is that something completely different? Or the Alzheimer quiz?
Well, the society was asked to be a part of it, but we weren't sure exactly how they wanted our help in writing a quiz.
Okay.
So although a lot of the society are going, we haven't organised it.
Spoken like a true politician. But allowing for the fact that you are currently campaigning to get Quidditch accepted as an Olympic sport, have you got any questions you'd like to put to indeed Fiona or indeed Alan about life, the universe, and maybe games in Doctor Who? I mean, after all, Matt Smith used to play football.
Did he?
I didn't know that one.
With Jermaine Genus.
With Jermaine Genus as well. Mm. I don't think neither Alan or Fiona actually know who Jermaine Genus actually is.
No, probably not.
No.
I think he played at Leicester, isn't it? Or Northampton, it was one or the other.
Northampton.
He grew up in Northampton.
Exactly. Sorry, we're dilating here, and just time for a shameless plug here, Jessica, for the March the 19th, in which the Stone Tape Symposium will be taking place at the University of Lincoln in the Stephen Langton Building, formerly M-Tech, in which Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens will probably be delivering the opening session there in terms of the Daleks.
I'm excited now.
I thought you would be. Anyway, take that baton on a couple of stages further.
And you took the baton.
Listen, we've got gale force winds coming through the whole system. We're lucky that we actually can even hold on to our bantams. So carry on, Hannah.
Well, obviously we've recently heard that Peter Capaldi he said he's leaving Doctor Who, which I'm very sad about, as I've enjoyed his version of the Doctor. But do you guys have any predictions or any idea, or who would you want?
In the event that they haven't been asked themselves, of course.
Yeah, obviously, if you haven't
been asked themselves. I'm not an actor.
That hasn't stopped Colin Baker. Oh,
sorry. Oh, well, it's not very fair, is it? Colin Baker was an actor, but he wasn't necessarily cast correctly in Doctor Who, but that's just my opinion, of course. Whether Sylvester McCoy was an actor, that is a question.
Yeah. Yesterday, of course, it seemed that Ed Fortune from Starburst magazine had a liking for Miriam Margolyes.
Oh, generally, or for Doctor Who?
As the Doctor, as a kind of one-off successor to the War Doctor.
Nah, I think you're all right.
I thought she was dead.
No, she's been appearing in the Miss Fisher murder mystery, so...
Oh, but she must be in 90, mustn't she?
I don't know, but she plays Aunt Prudence.
The best one, if you're talking about women to play it, what's that lady girl
Tilda
called?
Swinton?
Yeah, I think she'd be great. She looks smashing.
They're into the Tilda Swinton scenario. Or indeed, as a couple of people mentioned it yesterday, Tilda Swinton. It's very confusing.
Tilda Swinton, she'd be even better.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
She could hook up with David Cameron as a companion.
Yes.
Jessica, any thoughts on the next Doctor?
Wait and see if they get that one.
They just moved to the Doctor Who fan.
No, it's okay. Really. It's just scary.
Don't blame you.
I did watch a few, though.
Well, you can't avoid it, can you? It's on every...
But I couldn't remember much about it.
Sorry, Hannah, your interview. Carry on.
Defense mechanism.
Fair enough. By the way, I just do a plug for us. Well, Vorp should be coming out in March.
You mentioned that, and actually, I will open this up, because I received an email yesterday, and I appreciate this. This could be Alex Levchuk gets a little bit risky when it comes to people he should not mention, because there are sort of tensions here. But I received an email from Adrian Rigglesford yesterday. Exactly. Discussing the whole thing, and his line was, in fact, actually, Hannah, would you like to actually read that whole sequence out? That's sort of thing there, which starts off with how.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly.
How the heck are you, sir?
Yeah.
A colleague is launching a Doctor Who magazine late March called Warp Warp.
Mm.
Would you like him on your show?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, being the kind of sort of person who was interested, obviously, in Doctor Who Warp Warp fanzine, the fanzine created by and for Doctor Who fans, I said yes. But, you know, Adrian Wigglesford, he's an odd bod in so many ways. He does his things and so on. And I was just wondering, you know, what is Alan Stevens' response going to be with respect to Warp Warp?
Well, there's two things. My response to Adrian Wigglesford is Adrian Wigglesford is a very imaginative and talented individual who I think, if ever become, and it was a possibility a while back, because, in fact, he'd written a script and there was something he was doing with Graham Harper, which was, you know, a gnat's breath from being made. It was very unfortunate. It was BBC politics that screwed it up. But if Adrian Wigglesford had ever become the showrunner on Doctor Who, I think that would be amazing, because Adrian Wigglesford is an incredibly imaginative and talented individual who gets stuff done. He also has a tendency to let his imagination run away with him, and that is probably his greatest downfall, but it's also his greatest strength. So, you know, I think Adrian Wigglesford is, you know, generally a good guy.
Well, that's okay then, because without mentioning any names, Hannah, as you can see in terms of the rest of the message that's actually there, clearly he's already sort of identified the worst case scenario if we were to put him together with another semi-regular individual. We can't go there for obviously legal reasons.
I'm not going to mention any names, but yeah. The reason for that is because the other individual is a person who is, he writes reference books, and he is absolutely meticulous in getting every single detail correct. But when Adrian writes books, sometimes he doesn't quite have that rigor.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
That's exactly.
Yeah. And I think that can annoy people, and I can understand that, because I've had some discussions. I've been, I'm writing a book, Fiona's helping a great deal. I'm writing a book at the moment on the Daleks master plan, and I've had, you know, various discussions with Stephen James Walker online on Facebook concerning various aspects of it. And, you know, they know their stuff, and they, you know, they if you come up with a theory, they will accept it if they, after they've analysed it from every single angle, or they will reject it after they've analysed it from every single angle. But they are very, very precise. And so anyone who is a little bit sloppy in that regard, they don't like. So, you know, certainly it will be like, you know, was it nuclear? Was it like antimatter versus matter, if you put those two people together? A big massive explosion, blood everywhere.
Exactly, this is the whole thing. But if you are interested, we are hopeful that possibly Adrian might join us next Wednesday at 5:25.
Oh, Adrian Wigglesford.
It's a definite thought about it.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought he meant, I thought he was suggesting...
he might well be suggesting this.
Gareth Kavanagh.
Well. He might well do that as well.
Gareth Kavanagh. There's two people. There's Colin Brockhurst, who's brilliantly talented, and there's Gareth Kavanagh, who's also brilliantly talented, but it's Gareth Kavanagh who basically does a lot of promotion, because Colin Brockhurst is a bit of a shy person, really, and he doesn't like to, you know, expose himself. But I think Gareth Kavanagh, he's got a lot, you know, he's got a lot of chat, he's done a lot of stage productions concerning Doctor Who. In fact, he'd be a great person to have on there. But certainly, Vorp, you know, that it is, we're in a fanzine, it's a lifestyle. It's, people have been 5 years working on it. It's 208 pages long, full ink, all colours. Ben Aronovich writes for it, Gary Russell writes for it, I write for it, Fiona writes for it. Everybody writes for it. Who else has written for it? There's,
Baxter.
Sorry?
Stephen Baxter.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him on TV a few days back, going about on his new book.
So there we have it, Hannah. Something to look forward to next week.
And there is a CD attached to it.
Good heavens.
A free CD.
Shiny discs.
The Mechanical Planet, featuring the Daleks and the Emperor Dalek. And it's based on a comic strip that appeared in the 1965 Dalek Age of Space book, or was it Dalek World? Sorry, it was Dalek World, called The Mechanical Planet, written by Terry Nation and David Whittaker, and I have adapted it for radio. And also, there is a special issue you can buy, which is issue, there's three covers on it, and one issue is a 21st Century 21 cover, which has got Daleks on hoverboats fighting these, what are they called, Terracoms.
Yes.
And that one comes with a record, and it's either it's got, which has got two alternative covers, sort of the English cover and a Japanese cover, some sort of like weird thing fighting these Japanese style Daleks. But unfortunately, there is only, I think, 601 of a 300 of the other.
Alan, this is fantastic stuff, but we're going to lose the will to live if we continue at this particular rate, it has to be said, and time is as ever of the essence. More great stuff, caldorcity.com, if you want to access more details. Alan and Fiona will return, possibly together with Aisha and...
Aisha, you got it right earlier.
Aisha. Fair enough. Aisha and Zhukov.
Got,
naming
yeah.
of cats, very difficult. Ben, would you like to put those last two questions to your friends and ours? Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens. Take it away.
Fiona and Alan, have you enjoyed your telephonic loop verse this morning?
Telephonic loop? Yeah. Is there a new one there, is it?
I don't think it's working much. It's not going to lie. I can't really hear it.
I like that much better. Telephonic loop. Oh, that's smart. Stick with that one, Alex. Okay. Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed the telephonic loop. It's fantastic.
And will you be joining us again sometime soon?
No, that was that was for the telephone loop, exactly. Oh, yeah, there's another guy you've got to interview called Dylan Reese, and he's just released a book called Downtime the Wilderness Years, which covers all the spin-off stuff that took place from, you know, audios, including Caldor City and Faction Paradox, and, you know, various things that David Hare was involved with for real-time pictures. And
it's just a fount of riches, only equivalent to Lincoln Fashion Week, I can honestly say. Thanks to Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Kaylee Carr from Sunderland, Richard Fitzwilliams from London, Ian Lennox, of course, and indeed our food scientists, Carrie Buxton and Greg Tucker, George Sampson, dancer and winner of Britain's Got Talent, William Sitwell, Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore, and in the team, of course, Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Umphraville, all set to do some live reporting for us on the journey to London with, of course, Jessica Wickham. You might do some phone links with us as well, Jessica, of course.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, so give me phone.
Exactly. Eva MacDonald, as ever, a delight. Back with us next week, Eva.
Yes, I will.
Yay. And Hannah Brown, are you back with us next week, Hannah?
Yes, well, I'm staying here over reading.
Nice, good.
Work,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'll be here.
And Ben?
Exactly the same as Hannah.
Sorted. That's it. Great stuff coming through as far as Silent Home is concerned. Don't forget the new show, Past Prologue, gets an airing this evening just after 7 o'clock on Siren FM, plus a whole heap of other goodies. That's it then, folks. Time to say farewell and au revoir.
Farewell and au revoir.
Farewell and au revoir, exactly. Jessica, have a splendid London fashion event.
Oh, dear, yeah.
And remember, no pressure, but you're representing the entire city of Lincoln.
I know, it's scary.